I'd like to be able to just wish everybody a wonderful morning here. My name is Frank Truer. I'm the chair of the Cosmetology Hair Design, Barbering, Aesthetics, and Manicuring Board. The time right now is 10:04 a.m. on Tuesday, June 7th, and I'm going to officially be calling this board meeting to order. The meeting is open to the public to listen to the board meeting, and we'll be providing an opportunity for public comments at the end of the meeting as well. It looks like we have a number of people that are on the call, and that makes it very exciting. As a courtesy, we'd like to encourage all the participants to mute yourself when you're not speaking to reduce the background noise when others are speaking. One of the challenges is remembering to unmute yourself when you're speaking. And also, board members, if you could, we want to be able to capture the information correctly. So when you are making comments, if you could also state your name, that would be extremely helpful. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and invite Kim Hall to do a roll call to confirm the attendance of the board members and also the staff. So once Kim calls our name, please respond by stating that you are here to confirm the attendance. So Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, so I am not sure who has come in since we started, but I'll just go through my list. First off is Frank,
All right, and I'm present.
Jerry, Lacey, Laura.
Did you say Lara? I couldn't
Yes.
quite hear. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Sylvia?
Here.
Shauna? Ayana? Curtis?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Sherry? Toby? Okay, and then staff. Is Deb here? Bill?
Here.
Kathy?
Here.
Kevin?
I'm here.
Dee?
Here.
Rick?
Here.
Melissa?
Here.
Sherry and Alyssa?
Both here.
Did I miss anybody?
I'm not on the list, but I'm here for Mike, Julia Manley.
Thank you, Julia.
Toby's here.
Oh, Toby, thank you. Brings our total to five.
Kelsey as well.
Okay, we have half. So we're good.
And Frank is muted.
Yep, you're.
Great, thank you so much. So that means that we have quorum, and we'd like to be able to move first to the approval of minutes to let the audience know we'll be moving after that to new business. We have some areas to discuss regarding exam availability, then we'll go ahead and touch on old business. We'll review the old action, the action list of the prior meeting. We will then move on to committee reports, followed by the Department of Licensing report, and then we will go ahead and we have a few other areas of other businesses, and we'll close with the public comments. So if you would like, if there are members of the public, we'll probably ask you just to type your name into the chat box, and we'll go ahead and acknowledge you at that moment. So without further ado, we will go ahead and move into the approval of minutes. It is for the February 15th, 2022 meetings. I am sure the board members have had a chance to review the packet. And so based on that, I'd like to be able to entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes. This is Sylvia Garcia.
All right, Sylvia Garcia has made the motion. I need a second from the board.
This is I also second it.
And could you clarify again who seconded that?
Lara also.
Oh, all right, perfect. And so we have a second. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposing? Any abstaining? All right, motion carries, and so the approval of minutes are completed. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to. Let's see here, new business. I'd like to be able to invite Kevin to speak to exam availability.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Ritzer. I'm the Licensing Services Manager for the Cosmetology Schools and Apprenticeship Program. Understanding there was a challenge for the schools, students, and apprentices obtaining practical exam availability, a few months back, we began meeting regularly with Prometrics, also known as DL Roop. And one of the things that DL Roop expressed was the need for data on their part so they could better plan and look ahead towards setting up practical exams. So what we did is we reached out to all the licensed schools and asked them to provide us with basically a forecast of graduates beginning with the month of May through the end of the year and the different programs so that DL Roop could kind of adjust and set up availability at their different practical exam sites. So I believe they heard from just under half of the licensed schools. We had a cutoff date in, I think it was May 2nd, to get the information. So we appreciate the schools that did respond. And now DL Roop is working through that data and, you know, trying to look at what they have in terms of available practical proctors. And they're trying to address the efforts and the shortages. So it looks like within the next month or two, we should start to reap the benefits of these meetings. We do continue to meet with DL Roop and Prometrics regularly. So it's not a one and done type thing. This is something we'll keep revisiting and adjust as necessary. So again, I appreciate everybody who did respond. That's very helpful. That's all I had, Frank.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. And we really do appreciate the conversations that are being had. And hopefully we can definitely see the progress of it next month. I know that right now there still are challenges, and I know that it's a process, but I guess I don't know if DL Roop has any like sort of bridging solutions between now and next month, because we do still have a number of students that are waiting, but I guess if that's something that they can continue to be able to look at and work on for us, that'd be greatly appreciated. Any other comments from board members regarding that or questions to Kevin? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and we'll move on to old business. And I will turn over to Deb and Kim to be able to discuss the action items list.
Thank you, Frank. It's pretty brief. We just have the committee meetings from last meeting that we're setting up, and that's still in progress for the two or three that's with this board. And then HB 1837, I believe we sent that out to you, the board, for an update. If not, we can do that for you as well. And then we're going to go over further legislation later in the meeting.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much, Kim. Then I guess we will go ahead and we'll shift over to committee reports. And then we'll go ahead and turn it over to Sylvia to speak about the mission statement, followed by the vision statement. Sylvia, I believe you're chairing those committees.
Yes. On page 13, you'll see the copy of the mission statement, and it's up on the screen as well. And again, this is a rough draft, so we're looking for input at this point. I can read it out loud if you'd like. It's fostering fair marketplaces, public safety, and consumer education through the delivery of quality testing, licensing, inspection, and education services that focus on consumer protection and professional ethics. The committee really was focused on the fact that we want to reassure the public that we're doing our due diligence as a profession and working to make sure that those that are working in this industry are doing so safely. And I'm not exactly sure of the process. Kim, maybe you can clarify, but can members send emails perhaps to me if they have any input that they want to add, or we could have discussion? And then
You may have a discussion now. And discuss what you want to about the mission statement and also the vision statement.
any feedback, it would be ideal if you sent it to me and then okay. I can forward it on so we don't have a quorum through email.
Perfect. Thank you. So anybody have any comments or input? A mission statement, we want to keep it short and sweet. It would probably be even better if it were shorter. So anybody who has input, we would welcome that at this point.
So Sylvia, my input is that I really appreciate the work that you and your committee have done to be able to keep it very succinct. I actually really like the simplicity of it, and it's very direct, and it hits all the high points that I think are appropriate for us as a board and also as an agency. So I'm in full support of the work that you crafted up here.
Thank you. We're looking forward to Kim and DOL helping us to organize future meetings and have some support from DOL. So for those of you on the committee, that's something that we'll be working with. And I'm not sure who BK is, but thank you so much for your comment that you think the mission statement is spot on. Anyone else have a comment about the mission statement? Thank you, you like it, and it's nice work. We appreciate that. Moving on to the vision statement, that we have protecting Washingtonians through balanced oversight of insurance and regulated professions while enhancing consumer advocacy, education, and public safety. I know some of the comments we made about in the committee meetings were that education is key and making sure that schools are delivering the education that they need to prepare our licensees to be safe in the industry is of the foremost importance. And that we are a regulated profession. We wanted to, again, reassure the public that we do take their safety in high consideration. If anyone has any input or would like to add to this, we would appreciate it. Again, this is a draft.
No, Sylvia, I mean, like, again, I'll just reiterate what I shared in the other one. I really like what you guys crafted right here. I think that, I really like the simplicity. I'm glad that it's not overly broad, and it just keeps us really focused.
Yes, and keeping it broad was important to us too, because things are going to change. Our industry is constantly changing. Anyone else have any input? And just to reiterate, if you have any comments that you want to send, you can send them to Kimberly and she will forward those on to the committee members.
And I'm thinking maybe next board meeting we can vote on this and get these finalized.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have more board members attending.
Great. And Kimberly, you know, maybe we can just take the opportunity here is that this is because I know that when you send out emails, you ask that, you know, we keep our comments and discussions to more of these public forums. So just as a reminder to the board, that this is the appropriate time to have these discussions, right? And a reminder also on the email etiquettes too.
Okay. Exactly. No reply all.
Yeah, no reply all, guys. That's right. Let's see here. Well, let's go ahead and Sylvia. I think that the feedback's been positive right here. I think maybe we could shift over to the advisory board charter status. I know that you were heading up that discussion as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
I don't have a slide for that, so if you have an update, you can just give it to us, Sylvia.
Oh, I don't have any update.
Oh, okay. Oh. Sorry about that.
Okay. Great. And so for the charter status, then, if there isn't an update, what is the next steps that we need to be able to take as a board? Or is there an action item that we need to do? I guess I'll go ahead and I'll defer that question over to Kim then.
Yes.
For the charter, if we don't have a committee already created for it, we'll need to create that. Actually, that leads us into our Department of Licensing report that we do have two new staff members who have joined us. I believe they are on the call, and they are our new PS5s. So they will be, you'll have one of them working directly with you for being your lead and then also working on committees. So they'll be able to assist and work with you to get these committee meetings going and be more productive.
Great. Then I guess what we'll do is maybe that we'll shift us right over to Department of Licensing reports then. And so we'll turn it over to Deb and Bill regarding the program operations.
I don't believe Deb is available right now. If you like, Rick can always speak to it, but on the screen now is our licensing pulled last month. I believe this is what I shared with you as well, Frank, previously, but these are our current numbers for the licensing.
And so Kim, would you like me just to speak to these or?
Yeah, sure. If you want to break it down further.
No, yeah, absolutely. I think that what the audience can see right here is these are the current program licensee counts through most recently through May 12th right here. And when you look at the schools, you'll see that 67 are noted. You'll also see right on the third line there, you'll see post-secondary schools have another 23. When I was reviewing over that, I did ask Kim regarding the difference between those. And she said for the full school count, you would add both post-secondary and also the schools together, which comes to a total of about 90. So just for a reference point, those are two groups, but there's post-secondary schools are basically a subcategory of that. You're looking at salon and shops are right about 8,300 that are currently designated. You know, one thing that Kim and I had spoken about was it was really interesting that pre-COVID, you were looking at a significant larger amount and how many of those, how that number has dramatically dropped. On the personal services, hopefully everybody can see it, but if you can't, it's at 157 licensees. Mobile units are right at 18. Master estheticians are right at 2359, with manicurists at 13,030 licenses. Instructors licensed in Washington State are right at 1508, and hair designers with active licenses at 580. When you look at estheticians, you're looking at 10,892. And cosmetology is our largest licensee population, and that is at 32,585, and followed by the barbers. Licensed barbers are right about 3,125. So when you go ahead and you look at the overall population of licensees, that's what the distribution looks like. So let's go ahead and shall we move on to legislation then? I think that then would that switch over to David?
I had a question,
David?
Frank. Okay. Excuse me, and, Frank.
Yeah, Toby. Yes, Toby, you said you had a question?
Yeah, my thing was I noticed the list on it. Was the apprentice program not added on there, or they're not a part of that? Or is it under another, the apprenticeship programs?
Yeah, no, Toby, that's a great question. I'm going to have to defer over to Kim on that because you're right, that isn't on the licensee count. But I also know that's governed underneath a different agency too. So I'll defer to Kim on that or any of the staff members at the Department of Licensing.
Okay.
Toby, this is Kevin Ritzer. I'd be more than happy to address that if you'd like. The apprentice salon shops are actually, they do fall within the salon shops. It's kind of strange because they're licensed the same way. However, they do have an endorsement that allows them to be an apprentice salon shop. So currently that number sits right around 138 approved apprentice salon shops.
Okay. So it should, you're looking, it's under salon shops.
Correct. They're licensed the same way as a salon shop, but they have what we call an endorsement. So.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You bet.
And Kevin, I know that you and I have had conversations in years past regarding the apprenticeship program, but do we have a count of how many active apprenticeships are in those salon shops that have apprenticeship programs, or is that under L&I?
You mean actual active apprentices?
That's right. Uh-huh. Yep.
I would have to go pull those numbers.
Oh, really? Okay.
We do have access to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So with that, then I think that there, maybe we can go ahead and I see that we have the new structure that's on the screen right here.
Yes.
Kim, would I defer to you on that?
Yeah, so I just want to share because we were discussing that there's going to be two new PS5s. So this is a new breakdown after our realignment. But the next slide that we'll go to is where we fall into with the PS5s. So Sandra and Sydney, if you would like to introduce yourself, you're more than welcome. They will be starting later this month. No takers.
Hi, my name is Sandra. I'll be starting on the 16th. I'm really excited to work with you all. And I'm coming from the Department of Retirement Systems, so I've got a really good background in support. And I'm looking forward to meeting with you all and giving you the best help that I can.
Great. Thank you, Sandra.
Hi, I'm Sydney. It's great to meet all of you. I'm looking forward to meeting all of you in person as we're able to. And as Kim said, we'll be starting next week. And I'm actually coming from the state of Arizona. I'm currently traveling to Washington State with my family. And so I'm looking forward to jumping in and getting going with everyone.
Thank you, Sydney. Nice to meet both of you.
And I'll jump in real quick. This is Rick Storvik, and I am ecstatic to have Sandra and Sydney joining us. As some of you may know, our staff was a staff of four, and with Sandra and Sydney joining us, and then just last week, Alyssa joined us. We're almost doubling our staff. And one of the challenges in this board has really suffered from that is our ability to really support committee work. And so that's an area that we'll be jumping right into with these folks. We're excited that on their own time, they chose to come and join you for this meeting and start to get a little bit of flavor of our boards and board members. So we're real excited to kind of take this step forward and be able to support you much better. I'll be excited to see what comes at the next board meeting as you have a chance to work with these folks and do a little bit more committee work in between. So a huge thank you to Sandra and Sydney for being here and kind of getting your toes just a little bit in the water here before we get off next week. So thank you.
Thank you, Rick. And for legislation, Frank, I'm going to jump over to Bill, and he's going to discuss another update.
Hey, thank you so much.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for allowing us to come to your meeting. My name is Bill Dutra. I'm currently the Assistant Administrator for the Centralized Investigations and Audits Unit. As you saw previously on a slide, the department has gone through an alignment where the unit that I'm a part of, all of the different investigations, inspections, and audits for the 39 different professions will fall under one group of individuals. This is a way that we're going to be able to support licensees and residents and the boards a little bit better than we have in the past. This does not change the subject matter experts who have been trained and work in the profession of cosmetology with those groups. Those groups are still the same. The difference is there is support, added support for those teams as they grow and as we change our way of business and how we look at our business. On this call today also, I get the opportunity to introduce my boss, who is Catherine Nagley, who is the Administrator for Centralized Investigations and Audits, and also two of the managers that will be overseeing different aspects related to cosmetology. That is Evelyn Manley Rodriguez and Melissa Kirshner. And I will turn this over to Catherine.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here with you today. It's very nice to see you and listen to your board meeting. Like Bill explained, we're here as support. The great thing, again, about the alignment is that the person that's assigned to you for inspections and such is not going to change. They're going to be supported even more with tools and help to be able to move through things and to be able to support the board. So, you know, thank you for allowing us to be here, and I look forward to building a relationship with all of you. And Evelyn or Melissa, did you want to say any words?
Thank you for allowing us to be here and echo everything you said, Kathy and Bill, and looking forward to providing any support.
And with that, you guys have said it all best. This is Melissa Kirshner. I'll be overseeing and managing the investigation, so look forward to working with you all.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Catherine, Bill, I had a quick question. This is Frank here, regarding the inspection. So I know that there's a restructure behind the support. Are we as salons or schools going to see anything different in the inspections as they're coming in to be able to inspect our salons and schools and shops and spas? I think that's one thing that we'd all be curious on.
You know, that's a really great question that you're asking. The way that we're doing inspections and that, we're trying to really globally take a look at what is best both for the customer and the salon owner, and really work with trying to set everyone up for success. That is really our main goal. We, as you notice, moving out into this world, we've done some virtual inspections and started to go into that, really organizing it with the owners, really giving feedback. We're looking into how we can best develop things. We have a new salon order. Maybe it's a courtesy, by helping them by doing a courtesy inspection, saying, oh, well, we noticed this. Well, let's take a look at that and really work together to enhance that, one, that relationship, and two, help everyone be successful. So we're really taking that type of approach as well. So we may start seeing some of that evolution and going back out and doing some of those inspections and that, but we really want to have a nurturing and really open those lines of communication with all of our owners.
Are there any other questions that the board might have for this section at all? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and thank you so much for sharing these points here. We'll go ahead and we'll move on to other business. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have Kim guide us through those sections there.
Actually, we need to discuss legislation. Thank
you. All right.
Speak to that.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dee Sharp, and I'm a program manager with the Business and Professions Division with the Licensing and Customer Support Services section. So what that means is I work with your licensing group who interacts with the customers at the first interaction. So they answer the phones, they answer the emails, they issue licenses. So that is what my role is for you, and thank you for inviting us to meet with you today. We are here to discuss some new legislation that is coming out beginning day after tomorrow for our licensees. Here with me today, I have Kelsey Stone from our Policy and Legislative Unit. I have Julie Japhet from our Business and Professions Division. And Julie, I apologize. I don't want to mess up your title. I'm not sure what the title is. And I also have Diane Johnson with us, and she is our management analyst who has been working with us. All four of us have been on a implementation team to implement the legislation that I'm about to share with you, and they are here with me today. So what is this legislation? The legislature recently passed Engrossed Substitute House Bill 1930. The bill helps cosmetology licensees affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The licensees renewing their license from June 9th, 2022 until June 30th, 2023 won't be required to retake exams or pay a late fee. This legislation applies to all of the cosmetology professional licenses, including cosmetologists, hair designers, barbers, manicurists, estheticians, and master estheticians, and instructors. This bill does not apply to school, salon shops, or school licenses. You're eligible, you qualify for this if your cosmetology license was or will be expired between March 1st, 2022 and June 29th, 2023. I want to walk you through a little bit. That's the overview of the bill and who is eligible. Eligible licensees can renew their license between June 9th, 2022 and June 30th, 2023 without needing to pay a late fee or retake exams. If a licensee is eligible, they can renew online or by mail. They will pay their regular renewal fee of $55 per license, but no late fee. This legislation does not affect licensees who expire after June 29th, 2023. I've gone through a little bit about how they can apply. They can apply online or by paper starting June 9th, 2022. The last day to renew by paper will be June 23rd, 2023, to allow us to receive those renewal applications. The last day to renew online will be June 30th, 2023. With that, I'm going to pass this over to Kelsey Stone, who will be helping discuss this legislation today. Kelsey?
Thanks, Dee. Hi, everybody, and thanks for having us here today to talk about this legislation. Dee gave a really good kind of overview summary of how this bill works and who it's going to apply to in the cosmetology industry. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the communication steps that we've taken. Our implementation team knew that outreach to affected licensees was going to be the biggest part of this. We want to make sure that everyone who has an opportunity to take advantage of this, has the knowledge and knows the required steps to do so. So we sent out the same kind of information that Dee gave you guys in a much more detailed format to all of the affected licensees. I believe that we did an email blast via our listserv, and we sent out some hard copy mailings for those licensees that we don't have email addresses for. We also sent the same information to some interested stakeholders, so people that testified on this during session. I know that, forgive me if I butcher this name, Cosmetologists of Washington United was kind of spearheading this effort during session, and so we definitely made sure to send this information along to them as well. And then additionally, all of this will be posted to our website in a couple of different places by June 9th, which is, oh my God, what day is it? Day after tomorrow, I think, when this legislation goes into effect. And then next steps for our implementation team is to do tracking. So we want to make sure that we know who that is eligible out of that eligible pool is taking advantage of this opportunity so that we can complete another kind of dedicated blast to those folks who have the opportunity but haven't taken advantage of it yet before we reach that effective date next year, June 29th of 2023. So we'll be maintaining that information so that we know who else we need to reach out to. We believe that we'll be sending out another communication probably sometime in December, about halfway through the implementation period, to let people know, you're eligible for this. We've seen that you haven't taken advantage of it. Please feel free to reach out to us if you need some additional information or help with the application process. And I think that that's all we have. We just wanted to make sure that we gave you guys an overview of how the legislation works, what DOL is doing to make sure that the impacted licensees know about this opportunity, and kind of how we're keeping tabs on that and who's taking advantage.
Uh, And I think that there was a question right here by Curtis Rice. It says, I was wondering if there's been a change in the process. Oh, I'm sorry. I think this is a question about the apprenticeship shop. Curtis, were you referring to this topic right here, or were you referring to a different topic? All right, hearing, I don't hear Curtis's response, so maybe he can just type that in the chat box. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please continue if there are other things too.
I think that is everything that we had on this topic, unless there are questions.
And I see a question right here from Kay Sanchez. And it says, I was charged a late fee of $55 to renew my Cosmo license on 12/21. Why can't I get a refund? I don't know if that's something that, with Kay Sanchez's comment right here, if you could address that either on the call or maybe do a follow-up.
Kate, how about you send me an email and with your contact information, and we can have a phone call about that.
Perfect. Sounds great. All right. So hopefully Kay Sanchez was able to hear that right there. Or maybe, Dee, if you could just maybe put that in the chat, maybe your email in there. And then, I think Kay Sanchez said that that person's got it and they'll follow up with you. So I think we're good there. Okay. So thank you so much for the legislation update and also for the efforts moving that forward right there. We'll go ahead and move on to other business. I'll go ahead and I'll defer it to Kim to be able to walk us through other business there.
Thank you, Frank. As of right now, I do not have any other business.
Okay.
If any board members do, they can bring it up now as well. But for the action items and agenda items, the only action item that I really captured was to work with the committees to get those ongoing sessions scheduled so we can work on finalizing the vision and mission statement and then start working on the charter, and then which leads to the agenda. Hopefully we can get those on for the new business for next meeting and get it voted and finished. Maybe not the charter, but the vision and mission, hopefully.
That sounds perfect. Great. Okay. And then I also believe that we also had some different committees that we were going to have conversations on regarding overall curriculum and hours. I know that Kathy, you had sent out an email saying that we were just going to hold on that. I think that would probably be a follow-up item that we need to be able to do as well. Is that correct? And I think when I was referring to Kathy, I believe it was Kathy McDaniel.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. We just having four or more committees all at once might be a little bit much for the okay. board, depending on how many, but we don't want to forget about it either. If it's especially how, with the importance of it. So maybe after we finish the mission and vision statements, we can create the new committee at the next meeting.
Great. All right. Yeah. And Kim, I'm fully supportive of that. I'm not sure if there's any objections to that, but I don't see anything being expressed right here. So that works for me. Okay.
Okay. Okay. And just, I think moving on to the last item of public comment.
Great. And I think that right in the beginning, I saw a note here from, I believe it was it Blake Butcher that said that Blake would like to be able to make a comment once it's open to the public. So let's go ahead and allow Blake to be able to speak. Kim, are there any guidelines that we need to be aware of when the public is making comments and their time limits or anything like that we need to be aware of?
Yes, there's 3 minutes. And it's public comment, but the board does not have to respond.
All right. Perfect. Great. Thank you so much. I guess we'll go ahead and we'll turn it over to Blake here. Blake, you have the floor.
Hello. Thank you for your time. I'll make this pretty quick because I am not in the cosmetology or salon business. I am just attending this meeting to try and figure out how we can get more legislation in what we do. So we do scalp micropigmentation, microblading, and lip blushing. So this is a tattoo on my head here. And we are coded in this state as a tattoo shop. And I have I have been trying for months and months to get a hold of somebody that is on a tattoo board or some type of contact. So in a nutshell, there is just no regulation or oversight in what we do. And people are getting botched left and right. I've got people coming into my office in tears. Washington State, there is no test. There's no requirement for you to get your license. You just send $250 to an address in Seattle, and they send you your license. And behind me, you can see our certificates. These are people that have gone through our apprenticeship program. And, you know, this takes a long time to get good at. So the reason I'm contacting you guys is to somehow get a contact, because what happened is a lady that we trained last month, who signed a non-compete, hasn't done a single client. Her PMU license is still in transit, and she stole our program. And she's now training out of South Center Mall. She's got six people that she's training, and she doesn't know what she's doing yet. And, you know, the lack of regulation is now affecting my business, and it's just unethical that she's going to train. She's not ready. My lawyer can't do anything for me because Washington State's non-compete laws only are for independent contractors or our employees. And what we do is we train these people to go be successful and start their own business by doing S&P, not training. So is there anybody on the board that could help me make a contact? I mean, my goal is to become part of the board. I'll volunteer my time and try and get this, you know, in a perfect world, you guys would take over PMU, because this is not a tattoo shop, you know.
Well, Blake, thank you so much for the comment on that. I guess I'm going to have to defer over to Kevin or the Department of Licensing to be able to provide comments or feedback on that. I don't have anything specifically to be able to add where I can assist, but I'll defer to them if they have anything that they're able to share.
And Frank, I think if we can get his contact information, then somebody can follow up with him after this meeting.
All right, perfect. Rich, that sounds terrific. So Blake, maybe if you could just type in your contact information, maybe your email and your phone number in the chat box, and then the Department of Licensing will definitely follow up with you on that end.
Will do. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, Blake. I also see that there was another comment that by Dr. Saba from Watson Laser Institute that I'd like to make a comment. I'll go ahead and recognize Dr. Saba here.
Hi. First of all, I just want to thank Sylvia for making, you know, that orchestrating that masterfully composed mission statement. I think as a, you know, master aesthetic program here with multiple medical energy devices, we have a big concern for safety of the general public. And one thing that concerns me is for a while is back in the day when we had the grandfathering, there were several punch lists as to the way somebody could grandfather into a master aesthetic license. And one of the options was the NCEA, which is which apparently is still on the books as being an option to become a master aesthetician, which doesn't include, it's an online course, it's minimized, and it does not include any hands-on at all. And I'm just concerned, in the industry here, I'm a physician surgeon. I hear feedback from patients, I hear feedback from students. I'm also an expert witness in a lot of legal cases, so I'm concerned about that as being substandard and does not fulfill that mission statement. So I just would like the board to take a look at that and mull over that.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Saba. I know that, let's see here, Sylvia, I know that when I believe it was you and Ann Martin that were working on the language for the Master's Aesthetics, wasn't the intention that was really for the grandfathering, or was it for continuous? My understanding was just to be able to grandfather during that process. Is that correct?
Sylvia,
I think that your mic is muted if you're speaking.
There was a grandfathering clause, and we were directed by the legislative lawyers that we had to have one. We had to put one in there. But I too have heard of some stories or facts about people who maybe aren't adequately trained. And I personally understand that's a problem with most grandfathering. We certainly don't want to put anyone out of business or prevent someone from working, but the onus is on that individual to get the appropriate training to offer those services. And I too have heard of many people who haven't done that. So perhaps looking at it again is a good idea.
And Sylvia, just as a clarification question, is that during the grandfathering, I thought that there was an expiration to that grandfathering period, right? But now what? Yeah. And based on what Dr. Saba is sharing, then I believe that it's the way that the language is crafted, that it's being interpreted as ongoing. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Saba?
Yes, unfortunately, that seems to be the thing that literally has been neglected to be, history as far as with the grandfathering. It's ongoing. And
maybe Kevin can address
Kevin can address that. It's a liability. So that's just my feedback.
This is Kevin. I've pasted the statute that allows for use of the NCA certification in the chat there.
Kevin, could you repaste it? Because I don't see it. Or maybe my laptop is glitching too, so I'm not sure if it's just me.
I don't see it either.
Oh, there it goes. I see it now. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just, a side note, I don't think there's anything wrong with the NCAA. I mean, as a little, additional kind of almost like a continuing education, which we don't have in the DOL, but to actually substitute for a master aesthetic license is quite concerning, especially with our, the whole idea of the mission statement, protect the general public, quality of education. It's deceiving to the general public if somebody actually obtains a master aesthetician based on the NCEA without having any of the advanced training that other schools offer. And so hopefully we can look into that and maybe change that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Saba. Great. And I have a message here from a school that had some questions about, regarding state testing. And then I think that they're having problems posting it here on the chat. It was just directed towards you, Kevin, was regarding the state testing. They said that there are really challenges right now for students to be able to register in June. Is there any other solutions that we have to be able to help students this month as DL Roop is working solutions for July?
Yeah, I would recommend the school reach out directly to me with their specific needs. I've been forwarding those to DL Roop or Prometrics, and they do try to address them as best they can.
Okay.
In the meantime.
Okay. Great. Okay. I'm going to message back the school on that. That sounds great. I think that is, I don't see any other individuals that would like to be able to make public comments here in the chat. I don't see any hands raised. I do want to address that this whole meeting has been fantastic in terms of attendance. I mean, right now, based on my count on the screen, is that we have over 32 participants right here. So that is fantastic. I think that's great to be able to get this level of input. Without seeing anything else, I guess we will go ahead and move to entertain a motion to adjourn. Kim, do I need a motion to adjourn or am I able just to adjourn?
Nope, no motion.
Okay. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you so much for your time today. We are right on schedule here. So the time is 10:53. I appreciate all the work of the staff and the Department of Licensing for putting together this agenda and for all the board members on your participation. We will go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 10:53, and I wish everybody well in this upcoming week. Thank you so much, y'all.